Welcome everybody to this episode of Drat.
Team one take, here we go.
I mean, here's the thing with Drat, it's like we could do it about anything.
We could.
Media Sandwich, we could also do it about just about anything because we've been gone for like almost a year.
We've been gone for a hot minute. Life has come at us at the speed of life. And
that sounds really real. I feel like it sounds very pathetic.
This is like a MetLife commercial or something like that. Like, oh, here we go. Or,
this is how you know we've gotten old, is we're making jokes about MetLife.
Yeah. We can talk about anything. I mean, if we want to review stuff, I have played Mario Kart Tour on the phones. I'm up to level 17, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
To have leveled up that far. That means I have put in some time with this game. I have been playing it for over a month now. That is a thing that I've done.
When did that one originally come out?
A month ago.
Oh, it did. You have been a day one.
I have, not exactly day one, but week one. I was a week one tryout, and I was like, you know, because I heard, here's the weird thing, is I heard everyone talk about how bad it is and how it was disgusting.
It really didn't get a following the way like Pokemon Go did.
No, even though the thing is one of the most downloaded things ever. It's a giant success, at least in terms of downloads. And I heard all the people talking about how bad it was and all these things. And I said, yeah, that sounds pretty bad. Let me try that out. And I have tried it out. And I have enough experience. And I think I have more experience than most people who reviewed it. And I can give you the good and the bad. Mostly the bad. But also the good, which exists amongst the bad.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, do it, man.
Do it. What is that?
I think that was Caddyshack, where he's like,
"Do it, man!" Like,
he's,
what?
He's like, "You're gonna kill all the golfers, or no, all the gophers? We can do that. We don't even need a reason. Well, do it, man."
I just imagine that for a minute there, you just turn into like that weird dad. Is like, "Well, do it, man." That's the Rastafarian accent. You'll get that someday, and then you just kind of like leave to get a beer. I guess I don't know what dads do.
Clearly, because let me tell you this, no dad does a Rastafarian accent unless he's Rastafari, I think.
I don't know.
Dads, I really hope.
Dads are
terrible.
Dads are the best. As dads, and speaking to dads, exclusively to dads, if you're not a dad, why are you listening to this? Just kidding. You can be a dad.
I mean, we're the dads reviewing a thing.
Yeah, maybe you're a father and you didn't know it.
I think maybe Welcome. You're focusing on the wrong side of the equation of dads review a thing. We're the dads. We're going to review a thing or two. You don't have to be the dads to listen.
You don't have to be, but it helps.
Well.
Okay, so we'll start with Mario Kart Tour. So Kyle, yeah. How much do you know about this game?
I know that it's Mario Kart, but it's on your phone. That's
yes,
all I know.
Yes, and that's what they want you to think, Kyle.
Oh, but I'm wrong.
In an essence, yes, but in another essence, yes. It is Mario Kart, and it actually, like, so positives first to start off. It actually looks really, really good.
Oh, sure.
For a mobile port of a game, it looks pretty darn good. Thing is, you've got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch right now, which is the definitive, arguably best Mario Kart game. I'm not one of those backers. I don't say that Mario Kart 8 is the best Mario Kart. It doesn't have the nostalgia for me. Double Dash is now my favorite. Oh, no,
Double
I'm sorry.
Dash?
Well, Double Dash is the second favorite. Mario Kart DS.
DS was great.
Mario Kart DS was fantastic, and I think after DS, everything kind of fell away for me because they started shifting to, they shifted away from unique characters with their own style and unique carts, and it became, you got to unlock characters and carts and wheels and gliders. I'm like, dang it, I don't want to customize this stuff. I liked it when in Mario Kart DS, every character had three carts you could unlock. You had the standard wire pipe frame one.
Yeah.
You had their like alternate, and then you had a special unlockable one they could all have. And the special unlockable ones were kind of cool. Like, they were really unique. Like, Waluigi had like a
hot rod or something like that.
Well, his like third alt was it was like a backhoe loader, like a digger, which was kind of cool. It was a construction vehicle, basically.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think DK had Rambi the Rhino car. So like
cool.
Yeah, so
that's
there was really cool stuff there. And I thought DS, the DS version, was great. Anyway, that's not important here. In this,
that was a mobile version of Mario Kart, and this is the successor, essentially. Even though the Switch is also mobile.
Yes. And so the point is, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is a full-fledged, full-featured Mario Kart game. You've got a ton of tracks, both new and old. You've got a ton of characters, a ton of carts, customization, all that. You have a ton of modes, and Deluxe actually has a real battle mode that was built with the understanding that people actually use the battle mode.
Yeah.
Just still like, how did you guys not know that your players like that?
That's all Rainbow Road is for, man, is it's just Mad Max Mario Edition.
Well, no one battle modes on Rainbow Road. Everyone, like, what's, no, you do some block fort, you do some skyscraper, you do the donut one. There's a lot of cool stuff. Anyway, this is not the Switch version. This is not a full-featured Mario Kart.
Sure.
So you have to make some compromises for mobile. First one is you're just going. It's an auto go. So you don't have
like an endless runner kind of thing.
Kind of. You go around a track, and every race you do two laps against any of your, it's eight player races. It is against bots, but it wants you to think that it's against real people. And my assumption of how they do it is that players will play a track with their name, like their player name, and their combination of driver, cart, and glider, and it will just save that, not that play, like the replay, but it will save that combination, and then it'll use that as a bot, and say, so you think that you're playing against real people. As soon as you realize that you're not playing against real people, it both kind of cheapens it, but it also makes sure that it runs fairly smooth, and it runs pretty smooth on my phone. I have Samsung J3, so
you went mid tier, didn't you?
I did mid low tier, like, and it's
pretty great though, isn't it?
It works though. It was the cheapest phone I could get.
We talked about this a long, long time ago. Yeah. That I love mid tier phones now.
Point is, it works perfectly fine.
And then it should work on my Moto then.
Yeah, it runs well. The thing is, the game is a gacha game. Are you familiar with these, Kyle?
Yeah.
Gacha mechanics are, you basically have to spend premium currency to roll the dice and see if you get a thing, and you want to get a good thing. Now, it's called the loot pipe.
Of course.
And it's a Mario green pipe, or it could be a gold pipe if you got really lucky. Thing is, you have a loot pipe, you have to spend gems. You have to spend 5 gems to fire from the loot pipe once, or 45 to fire 10 times.
I already hate this. Introducing in-game currencies that you have to spend on a Mario game sounds like blasphemy for me.
You also accrue coins as you play.
Of course. So there's at least 2 in-game currencies, of course.
Yeah, so the coins can be used to purchase stuff from the in-game, like, coin shop. You can unlock up to 3 tiers of that, so I have up to 9 things a day that I can get. Drivers, like the good drivers, are about 3,000 coins. Base drivers are probably 800 coins. Carts are between 500 to 2,000. This is for like basic or super. The high-end stuff is like 10,000 coins. Way outside the realm of buying, because there's also a 300 coin daily limit you can collect through races. You can get more coins by completing certain challenges.
But they cap you?
They cap you for 300 a day.
It seems counterintuitive if they want people to play.
So when you start the game, it says, let's shoot the loot pipe and see what your first driver is. So you get, because you don't start with any drivers. And so, I ended up getting Bowser as my first driver.
So it's randomized for your first one.
It randomizes for your first one. So you could get anybody.
That's kind of nice, though.
Kind of. So you could get a really good driver to start with. And Bowser is considered in the super tier. So there are 3 tiers. There's the basically base level stuff, trash. There's the super tier, which is pretty good. And then there's the high end, which is like the event specific stuff.
Sure.
The way it's all set up is, since it's world tour, or since it's Mario Kart tour, it's supposed to be about touring the world. So the first 2 weeks was the New York leg of this tour. So for 14 days, they had all these levels set up, and they had built special New York levels. And I'll give them this. They've actually made they have a good mixture of levels. They use a lot of, they're using levels from the games already. And the only new ones they add are new ones specific for the event. So the New York one was, they made a New York level that they like modified here and there. And mm-hmm. for the second leg was the Tokyo one. So for the next 2 weeks after that, there was a Tokyo stage. I did not like the New York or the Tokyo stage. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because when you play it, you're not trying to get first place. I mean, you are, but that's not how you unlock better things. So you actually...
Not by winning.
So you get... the way that it works, so there's so many features. So you've got your gems, which you get very sparingly. You need to use those to shoot the loot pipe because you need more stuff from loot pipe. You have your in-game coins that you collect through races and do other little challenges.
Mm-hmm. Which are capped at 300 a day that you can get.
That you can get through races. You can get them. You can go past 300 a day with other methods like through
challenges. Like buying them.
Well, yes, and other such things like
that. Yeah, they don't cap you on that. I was going to say, yeah. What?
You have your level, which raises based on your ranking in each every race. You kind of get more points. If it's like fourth place, you don't gain or lose anything.
Yeah.
Third, second, first, you get more percentage added on to your total, so you get 100% and then you level up. Fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, and you lose some total. It's not too severe either mm-hmm. way, so it can take quite a while of winning races. So you want to level up, because when you level up, you get a little level up bonus, plus it increases the points. And the whole thing is that in each race, you're trying to collect points. So in the two laps, you're trying to get as many points as possible. And it's like you start with your base points. So your base points are your driver plus your cart plus your glider. Those all have base stats that you start leveling up. So as you're playing a race, you can level up those things. And as they level up, their points go up. Drivers are generally, they start at, I think, 450 or 400 is their point value. I have a couple that are up to 700 points as their base. Carts generally start at 200, go up to 400. Gliders, same, 200 to 400. And you want to level these things up, and so with their higher level, then you get more base points to start with.
Yeah.
But each course you select will give you a recommended for everything. And there are three tiers. There's the top recommended, driver, glider, cart. If you pick from the top racer, your top driver, you get... if you have some of their preferred ones, you can select three items at once.
Yeah.
And you also can access a thing called frenzy mode. So sometimes it'll randomize, you'll get three items and they're the same. And when you have three items that are the same, it's frenzy mode. And you just can, for like 5-10 seconds, you just can fire off as many of those as you can press, basically.
Hmm.
You get a crap ton of points doing that. You need to have, like, to get the high scores, you need to have someone with three. Basically, you need to have good luck and you have to have someone who has a three coin thing. Then there's the mid tier. You get two items, and then the low tier, one item.
This is an awful lot for a mobile phone game.
Yeah. The carts, the top tier, you have a certain multiplier for all your special stuff. The top one does like the most multiplier. It's like a times two multiplier. Middle one is 1.5. Bottom one is just times one, so it doesn't do anything.
Okay.
And then the glider is something similar. It's like it's another additional multiplier to certain things.
So the idea being you have to rack up points based on... which one of these stats are in effect at the time?
Kinda. You need to rack up points as you're going. So if I'm starting a race, a lot of times I'll start about 1,000 base points with my combination of my three.
Mm-hmm.
As the race is going through the first lap, you get points for doing everything, for a rocket boost start, for hitting someone with an item, for taking down an item.
Kind of like the way Burnout used to be.
Yeah, collecting coins, collecting using like boost items, hitting boost pads, doing jumps and stuff. And if you do enough of these in a row, you get a combo going, and it starts to multiply these little individual scores.
So very much like Burnout, then.
Yes. So you're trying to stack up your multiplier, doing all these little things. You're trying to get first, because if you get first, you get more points, and the higher your level, the more points first, second, and third are worth. So
wow.
Yeah. So if I get first place, being level 17, I get like 3,100 points added to my final score. At the end of it, it then shows you, here is the scores you're shooting for, and you can earn between 0 and 5 shine sprites, because, yeah, they're now shine sprites, Kyle. No, I'm sorry, grand stars.
What?
You're collecting grand stars, and the grand stars are used to unlock further, further cups and more of these little prize things.
Yeah, I mean, you said the phrase shine sprites, and I know that's not what you meant to say, but that was where my brain shut off.
Yeah, and so the thing is, you could get sixth place in a race and you still get all five shine sprite or grand stars because because it's like, oh yeah, you did a crap ton of stuff. You had a huge multiplier going. It doesn't matter that you totally borked it at the end and got like sixth place. You still racked up a crap ton of points. That's all we care, because we don't care about how good you're doing.
So the point of the game does not become winning a race anymore. It's just getting maximum points.
Yeah, it becomes maximum points because you want to be able to level up. There, each cup has three races and then a special like mission. And it's like first three races, like, okay, race here, race here, race here. And then do the special mission, which is like go through rings or do jumps or take out Goombas. Stuff that's like simple mission mode.
Sure.
Fun enough. And if you can do everything, you can earn 18 grand stars per cup. And then once you finish the cup, you don't have to get everything to finish it. It's just you have to finish playing each of those. It unlocks the next one, assuming you had enough grand stars. And you go through that. And some of them are not available yet in the core, in the tour. They hold them for a while.
Yeah,
and the more you do certain challenges, you will get more gems, which you can shoot at the loot pipe. The loot pipe,
and this isn't a concept that's new to
no,
because I mean this just like this whole thing was in place with Super Smash Brothers, the 3D one that was on both the DS and the Wii U.
No,
there was a gacha that.
Well, there definitely was some gacha aspects of it, but
and there were challenges that rewarded you with points to use at the gacha machine.
Yes, I mean, well, they had that sort of stuff in the past. Like Smash Bros. Used it, but that's all. You do stuff in game to get stuff in game.
Yeah,
this one is you can do stuff in game, but you get it so slowly. And the thing is, there's also like a weekly cup. They pick one of the cups that's available, and they're like, your top scores from all this are going to be aggregated together, and you're going to be thrown into a random grouping of 20 people. You can't choose who they are. It just throws you in this group of people, and you're going to aggregate against those people, and you're trying to beat all these other people and have the number one score so that your tier goes up. The tier is a different thing from your level. Good God, Kyle.
This is too much.
And if you get first in this, you get 20 gems, which is like, cool. That means you can fire the loot pipe four times and get four things. And so here's what's gonna.
That's a lot of things that have to happen just for you to attempt to get something out of a loot crate.
Here's what flakes my biscuits, Kyle. The loot pipe explicitly points out this is the percentage for each of the characters. Like all these different characters, there's special characters that are only during this event time that are the high end that you really want, and they make sure that those characters are necessary to get the higher point scores in later cups. They ensure that. Like, oh, you can't get enough points unless you have a top tier that can get three items so they can do the frenzy mode. But the only one that does that is like the special kimono wearing Princess Peach, which was only in the Tokyo tour. And only
do something similar on Star Wars Galactic Heroes.
So you can buy her outright for $5
of real
world money and get a little couple of things. They also started where you could buy Mario, because Mario was not unlocked to begin with. I had to unlock Mario through random loot pipe shooting.
And how long did that take?
That took me about a week. I ended up getting Mario. At this point, I have a pretty big... I bought him. He was in the store for 300 coins, or 3,000 coins. So I've now got most of the Koopalings. I've got Bowser Jr., Mario, Peach, Daisy, Rosalina, Donkey Kong... I actually had a high end. I have Musician Mario, which was one of like the
that's pretty cool. One.
Yeah, and it was like really like it was like cool. I actually have a couple hard to get ones, a lot of super ones. So I have a good mixture. I have a good mixture of carts and a good mixture of gliders. The problem is because the way they set it up, you have to have like everything. If you don't have everything, then you're not going to be getting the higher scores. And the thing is, every new event, they add more, which means that you don't have what you need to do all these things. So I'm in the Halloween tour right now, and they finally added Luigi. It actually took them a month to add Luigi in the game. So now Luigi's in the game.
Wow.
And so you want to get Luigi, because a lot of the special things involve Luigi, but I haven't seen him yet. And I can buy Luigi outright for $20.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, I get it for $20, which also includes a handful of other like goodies. It's like like 90 gems and a bunch of coins, a lot of other tickets and stuff to use in the game. Because also, each loot pipe says it can be fired 100 times, or you can reset it there are 100 items in it, and it's all random, and you will, there's no guarantee that if you shoot that loop pipe 100 times, you will get everything in it.
Yeah.
There, or that there will be one of everything. There's a lot of repeats. So if you shoot the loop pipe and you are, you're like, I have Mario. If I shoot the loop pipe and Mario comes out again, I have a duplicate. And now Mario stacks, and now his level can go up.
Oh.
Everything, drivers, carts, and gliders have a level 1 to level 7 ranking, which changes how successful they are, how often.
So when you get things, when you get doubles from the loot pipe, it's not a waste.
It's not a complete waste, but it sure feels like it. When you have grind, if you're grinding and you grind for a week to try to get the best possible score in the weekly rankings, so that you can get 20 gems, and you basically play this over and over against players who, and I forgot to mention this, there is a $5 a month gold pass subscription fee to unlock basically more features. Wow. And you get more rewards for each present box you unlock.
This is exhausting from the
sounds
of things.
There are more challenges to complete when you have gold mode, and exclusive things you can only get with gold mode. And it sucks when you see people in your weekly challenge, because you can, when you unlock challenges, you can get a badge you can display.
Mm.
The gold mode, like if you have a gold, like the gold pass, they're special gold only badges. And when you see someone who has a gold only badge, it means that jerk is paying $5 a month to ensure that they always will have a better advantage over me. And it sucks when they're like at the top of this list. So if you spend a week grinding and somehow you come out with 20 gems, like, whoa, I somehow was number one against this. Yeah. I got 20 gems. I can fire the loot pipe 4 times. You spent a week to do that and you get nothing but duplicates or like low-end trash.
Yeah.
You're like, well, great. I didn't get what I wanted. And if you don't get what you want, they will sometimes offer it later. So like right now, Diddy Kong, if I didn't get Diddy Kong in the first wave when I didn't, I can purchase him now for $40.
Yeah.
With a lot of stuff. And it's like, this is insane.
That is insane.
So that itself is insane.
But having said all of that, is it fun to play at least?
It's super fun. It's really addictive and it's fun. And I feel like I'm wondering how much they've converted people to pay, because they've started to really push the gold pass. And they're really trying to let you know.
But this is freemium?
This is freemium. So it's completely free to play. I've yet to give any money. And now they're offering 2 months free gold pass for first-time users, which you can then unsubscribe from and like turn off auto-renewal. So that, at least, is... I feel like they're tempting people.
Yeah.
They're like, please get the gold pass, which seems like the scummiest thing. And I even had like a survey the first week where they sent it to me like, hey, you play this game enough, can you give us a survey? And I'm like, yeah. And like, what do you like about it? I'm like, the gameplay is actually fun. Like, the game surprisingly works. The controls,
its functionality mobile game is impressive.
It's very impressive. The races are fun. I really appreciate the courses, like what they've done, because even though you're doing 2 laps, you have a lot of the courses are just like you remember them. Then they have the reverse version of them, so it's mirrored kind. Then a lot of them have like a T version. I'm not sure what the T stands for, but it's basically a new modification to it.
Okay.
And it's like, so you'll be playing one and you're like, whoa, this one has a ton of jumps and gliding places now. And so it completely changes everything, or you'll actually drive it backwards.
That's cool. It's the same course, but there's some kind of twist on it that makes it different.
Yeah, so it's really...
So T is for twist.
Maybe T is for twist. And so there's a lot of changes they've done, and sometimes they'll do a reverse twist. And so there's like 4 variations of every course, and so you feel like you're playing this from every angle, and I actually appreciate that. I think that was... It's really fun to get to play some courses that I haven't seen since like the 3DS or the DS version that haven't appeared, that weren't in Mario Kart 8.
Well, and from the sounds of things, since you haven't paid any real money into this, it sounds like even on the free level of this, there is a surprising amount of variety. Usually on these kinds of games, if you want to play without paying any money, you'll get to play the first, you know, hour or so of content, and that's about it. That's all you're getting.
Yeah, and this one, you can play it for quite a while, and the problem is that eventually you run out of things you can do. Because A, you can only get up to 300 coins a day.
Right.
So once you stop collecting coins, you're like, well, I don't want to keep playing. Or you stop accruing experience for your driver's carts and gliders, because there's a cap for that. And I don't know how high that cap is, but eventually you stop getting points. So I can't even level up my crappier stuff. And so, or you've done all the cups you can, and then the next cups haven't been built yet. It says, oh, they're being constructed. And you can unlock them if you have, there's multiple tickets that you can earn.
What?
So there's like a course ticket that you can get that takes a day off the course wait time for new cups and things.
So it's a fast pass.
There's also Grand Star tickets when you want to unlock something, you need more Grand Stars to unlock it faster.
This is dizzying.
There are passes that upgrade the levels of each of the driver's carts and the gliders. There's things that upgrade the stats of driver's carts and gliders, but those ones are not... you can't use the low-end passes for the high-end drivers, but you can use the high-end passes for the low-end drivers.
This sounds like it would be a game totally wasted on me, because I would just, like, do a race and be like, yay, I won, and that's the last thing I would do.
Yeah, I've put in so much work to get fairly good at it and get a lot out of it. So now in the Halloween course, I have been just rocking it.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling good because I've been able to completely clear all of my cups so far up to what it has unlocked right now. And I by the end of this, once I've unlocked enough, I'm going to get the 2-week like freemium pass, the gold pass trial, so that I can get a bunch of other stuff that's like specially locked behind that for the 2 weeks, and then I'll shut that off. And I'm going to try to overlap it so I can get the end of this tour and then a little into the next tour. Thing is, though, we're in the Halloween tour, and I'm like, oh, what are you going to add? Like, okay, like, what are the freemium, like, what are the high-end characters? Like, oh, it's like King Boo from Luigi's Mansion. Like, I don't care. Also, a spooky witch Rosalina, and I'm like, oh, dang it. I need spooky witch Rosalina. She's like Rosalina is one of my favorite Mario characters.
Yeah.
And when I unlocked her normally last in one of the last cups, I was stoked. Because I'm like, yes, I love that character and I love playing as her whenever she is recommended, of course. You never play one when they're not recommended. Because you can't get the points if you don't. You need to always go with whatever's on top.
Things like that kill the fun for me. It's like, what's the point of being able to play as anybody else then?
And what does also suck is that first, when you first start unlocking characters, you realize each of them have a special item that only they get. Like Mario gets a triple fireball. Bowser gets this big spike shell. Yoshi gets a homing egg that when it hits someone, it pops and another item comes out.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But then you start unlocking more characters and you realize that a lot of them have the same ones.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, Donkey Kong has a giant banana that if someone runs into it, it bursts into 3 bananas. And so you can hit a lot of people at once. But then you get Morton Koopa, who's a low-end character. And he also has that as his special. So I'm like, okay. So basically everyone is just sharing powers. They're not really original, but they're ensuring that you have to get the different ones because, of course, sometimes DK is recommended and sometimes Morton's recommended.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah. And the same with carts. And I've noticed that with the carts, it's like, now here's like the B Dasher, the one that's on the cover of Mario Kart DS, the one that Mario's jumping over. It's like that long white one with a red stripe.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's iconic Mario Kart. Well, you can unlock that one. It's a high-end one. There's a blue version of that too, and guess what? They're the same dang cart. It's just one's blue and one's white, and sometimes the blue one is recommended, and sometimes the white one's recommended.
Yes, I've discovered something similar with this. Will be my portion of Drat, but before we get into that, but
final rating for this, I give this a out of 10. So it's I don't let Charlie play this. I've let him try to drive it once or twice. The controls are not intuitive to a kid at all. So at a certain age, even though you'd think it would be easy for a kid to pick up and play, it's really not. So I don't recommend it for the little kids. And the problem is I don't want to just let him play through and like keep running into stuff and like getting like last place, because it will affect my level. I lose points for that.
Well, if you let him play the Switch version.
Well, I did, but he got frustrated with that, so I gave that back to my cousin who I borrowed from.
What you're saying is you need a Super Nintendo.
I do have,
let him play that version.
I do have that version, but that version is rough. I do not like the original Super Mario Kart.
It's pretty hard.
It's not a great one.
But this one, as a mobile game, it's probably on the higher end of a recommend for you.
If you are not, and this is the high warning here, high warning levels. If you are have gambling tendencies, stay far away from this one.
Because that's all video games at this point, though.
Yes, but I'm telling, like, I'm just giving that warning. If you have problems with gambling, stay away from this one by all costs, because you will feel tempted. When as soon as it's like, oh, but if you keep going, you could get Spooky Rosalina, and I'm like, I'll Spooky Witch Rosalina.
Yeah, like, I mean, essentially, mobile games have become mobile slot machines that you fit in your pocket, and
This one's pretty bad.
If anything, you're spending a lot of your time on it.
Yeah, so if you have trouble with gambling, stay away from it. If you are pretty good about freemium games where you'll play it and you'll find the fun until you feel compelled to spend money and then you drop it and you're fine, this is a good game for that. There is, again, a surprising amount of content for nothing. You can slowly build your gems naturally by playing the game to unlock stuff. And if you have good luck, you'll unlock good stuff. So, okay. So I recommend it if you understand that it is totally a slimy garbage game.
Well, I mean, presumably there are two kinds of people who would play a mobile Mario Kart. There's people that understand Mario Kart who would probably understand video games, who probably understand mobile games and what a friggin' scam they are. Mm-hmm. So that person will understand. And then there's the other side of things, which is, you know, like a little kid who just wants to play Mario Kart and... that's about it. Like, they might hit the button to use their mom's credit card and get in trouble. They might not. That's the dice that their mom's rolling with this mobile slot machine.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, download that if you want. If you want.
If you want. It's, again, it's free to download.
I think I'm going to try it based on what you've told me, because I just like Mario Karts.
Worth a try. You might... I think it's like the first driver that you get will really influence what you feel. Getting Bowser to start with felt cool.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, cool.
What was I going
to
say?
It's a good one to start with.
Yeah.
A lot of people get Toad when they start. It's like, unless you're like a huge Toad fan. It's
like, okay. I mean, yeah. I could get down with Toad if I had to.
He's also considered a super, like, level. He's mid-tier, so... And we're down with mid-tiers, as we mentioned.
Yes, I love a mid-tier. Mid-tier most things. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, so my portion of Drat is a game that you actually recommended to me and showed me a little bit. Mm-hmm. You definitely gave me the first taste for free.
Yes, I did.
And I dove in hardcore, and people know this if they follow me on Twitter. Starlink Battle for Atlas is a game that came out like 2 years ago already?
I think it's only been about a year.
Only about a year? But it came out, and it was kind of the last of the collectible toy video games.
Probably the last Toys to Life thing we're going to see for a while.
Yeah, because Skylanders is pretty long gone. Disney Infinity bit the dust hard. Lego Dimensions went on hiatus and never came back or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that got canceled pretty hard after under a year. And Amiibo have slowly... whittled themselves down. They're still Amiibo. You still get a lot. Every new game they announce, another new Amiibo. But
Amiibo, much like a lot of Nintendo's products, is one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's just like that thing, only it's our slightly different version that has a different life, so it doesn't really apply to all the others.
So yeah, the Amiibo craze has died down, but Starlink is...
Well, Starlink is something kind of different because, I mean, usually with a Toys to Life game... obviously, it's no fun unless you can spend the money on a large collection.
Yeah.
And that's just the way the game functions, is you need a large collection in order to get the full game experience. Starlink Battle for Atlas, if you've never heard of it, I wouldn't blame you, because I hadn't heard of it until only a couple of months ago when you showed me the Switch version, which, of course, it being on the Switch, this is... I heard vague things when this game came out, where it was like... Ubisoft made a game, and it's kind of like a Star Fox game, but not really. And I said, well, that's a bad way of marketing it, if that's the case.
Well, but then again, it makes more sense when it's on the Switch, because when you get the Switch version starter pack, you get Fox, McCloud, and an Arwing.
Right, so the game is a space combat game, but it's also a little bit of like an open-world platformer in a space combat kind of skin. Mm-hmm. And it's made by Ubisoft, and but it has Fox and the rest of the Star Fox crew as characters if you buy the Switch version. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of seamlessly worked into the plot, and they're just kind of hanging out in the background of big group scenes when there's cutscenes. but they have their own set missions for the Switch version. But the toys that come to life in this Toy to Life game are starships. But they're starships that are in pieces with variable weapons. You can take off the wings and custom make your own ship with its own wings. You can put, I think you can stack up to 3 things on each side, wings and weapons.
Yeah.
And you can choose which pilot to use as well, because every pilot can get into every ship. There are, just like with the Mario Kart game, there are recommended ships to use with each pilot. Mm-hmm. Like, this pilot will not, like, it's just not worth it to put them in this ship. You got to put them in the tank ship. You can't put them in the fast, you know, racer ship.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But, you know, naturally, there's toy packs, there's ships, there's individual pilot packs, there's weapons packs. But the cool thing about the game, and I think this was very intelligent on their part, was the whole game exists digitally, and you can buy the whole digital version of it without ever having to buy a piece of plastic.
Yeah.
And that's smart, and I think that's why a lot of people played that way. The toys, like every other Toy to Life game, it kind of, you know, they took a bath on all of these toy starships, because mm-hmm. not everybody wants to spend $20 on a piece of plastic.
Yeah.
And in this case, you mount it to your controller via their custom mount thing that they have for each system.
Mm-hmm.
And each piece, each wing, each weapon, each pilot, everything has electronics in it to link up that piece so that you can literally tear pieces off of your ship and replace them in real time, and it will appear in the game in real time.
And it's pretty cool to see that.
It's very nifty.
Yeah.
It's very nifty. It's very cool for kids. I showed it to Robert, and he got very excited with, oh, I can just tear this wing off, and in the game, the wing's gone. I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, now give it back. But, you know, wings have different stats to modify the ship. All the different weapons can be, everything can be modified to a ridiculous degree. Mm-hmm. I keep finding, I think there are, has to be at least 100 different mods for each item.
Hmm.
Which, that makes sense, because, and here's my big criticism of the game, it's an Ubisoft game, and that means there's about 8 hours of actual main story content, and the rest of it is just grinding for flags, basically. Mm-hmm. It's just like every Assassin's Creed game, where if you want to play through just the main story structure and be done with it, you can. You'll finish it in a weekend, no problem. And you can probably do it just with the main ship, actually. You mm-hmm. can play through the whole game just with the starter pack, which is one pilot, one ship, and 2 weapons.
One for each wing.
Yeah, that's what it was for the Xbox pack and the PlayStation pack.
The same with the Switch pack.
Well, the Switch came with 2 pilots, though, because it came with Fox and with the main
character,
Mason. Oh,
that's right, that's right. Did you get the Switch version 2 or something?
No, but I'm going to thing, because this is a good thing about the game. All of the ships are interchangeable between systems.
That's right.
So, except for the R-Wing, of course.
The R-Wing and Fox are exclusive to the Switch version.
Yeah.
They're Nintendo exclusive.
Yeah, so if you get the Switch version, that is the best of the 3 console packages to get, mm-hmm. because
you inherently can have more.
You can have more because there are more missions. Yeah. The R-Wing is exclusive to it, and so is Fox. But the thing is, I'm getting a Switch for the family for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
but that's not for a little while.
Right.
But I wanted to get into this game immediately when you showed it to me. I'm like, mm-hmm. a game where I get to buy toy spaceships, I'm in.
Yeah.
So I looked online, and the Xbox starter pack, $12.
Nice.
Because this game took a serious bath, so it's on clearance.
Yeah, I think I got the Switch version for, I want to say 20, when it was, I think, initially like 70 or 80.
I believe you can get it for about 20 on like Amazon now.
Yeah.
So I just bit the bullet and I got the Xbox version, thinking, well, hey, here's the thing. I'll have the ship from the starter pack, because that's the only way to get that ship is in the starter pack for one of the other systems.
Hmm.
And then I can use that ship and that pilot and all of that stuff with the Switch version when I get it eventually.
Yeah.
So I'll play it on the Switch eventually. Right now I'm just playing it on the Xbox, because why not? And this is the obsessive part of my brain, is I am a collector,
mm-hmm.
especially when things are cheap. And these are getting pretty cheap. It's not cheap as in like a Skylander figure right now, where you can get one for like 50 cents.
Yeah.
But these ships started at like, I think they retailed for like 25 for a ship pack. Now they're down to, I got one at Fred Meyer, which is the local Pacific Northwest Kroger stores.
Yeah.
I got it at a Kroger price of $20. Mm-hmm. And then they had Pilot, Pilot by themselves on clearance for like $2. So I got, there are a couple of Pilots that don't have their own ships. Mm-hmm. So I got one of those. There are a couple of ships that are retailer exclusive to Target and GameStop. So now I'm already at a point where I have the starter ship. I bought one at Fred Meyer for $20, and that was the one that I took my boy with me. This is why this is a great subject for Drat, is this is a game to play with a little kid, because they're like, I want to play with the spaceship. You tear it off of the mount, hand it to them. They're playing with the spaceship. You can hit the button that gives you the option to play digitally with everything you just had connected. Mm-hmm. So you can play digitally and they can play with the spaceship. It's a great time. Especially with the R-Wing, because the R-Wing has like moving wings and everything. It's a they're great little ships. Yeah. The details on them, the molds are great. But it's a lot of money if you are going to be a completionist about it, which I am, mm-hmm. I think this is going to be the thing that I'm going to have a shelf for, because I haven't had a shelf in my apartment for years because the place is too small.
Yeah.
But I've already shelled out for the GameStop exclusive. I thought that was going to cost me a lot. Mm-hmm. I went in there and the guy's like, oh yeah, you know, we haven't had that stuff in here for a while because it's not selling well. Wait a second, I can order it for you and it'll just arrive in the store and you can pick it up. I'm like, oh, okay, so how much is it going to be? Is it going to be like, I saw the GameStop exclusive one on Amazon for $50. Hmm. And that was the most expensive ship in this game, mm-hmm. to buy the actual toy version of. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, oh, it's $20. So I got the GameStop exclusive for $20. And that's fine. I'm willing to bite the bullet and spend money on this because it's also toys for the kid. Although it's getting a little rough when Rosalie is cleaning up the house and throws all of my video game spaceships in with all of Robert's regular toys. And I'm like, no, there's electronics in those. Don't do that. They will get Play-Doh in them. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But it's a fun game, but there's a lot of grinding. There's so many ancillary extra things that you feel very overwhelmed immediately when you get in, where it's like, okay, so in order to beat this thing, I got to go and destroy 10 of these towers, and in order to destroy one of the towers, you've got to go and scan this thing 500 times. There's a lot. It's stackable fetch quest stuff. A lot, and the variety of gameplay is pretty nil. It's basically go to a place and shoot a thing. Mm-hmm. But it's go to a place and shoot a thing with endlessly customizable versions of the weapons and the ships.
Yeah.
So that's the fun of it. The one thing that's a real big gripe, though, is it is not intuitive in terms of missions, the HUD, the controls.
Yeah, when I first booted it up for you, because I hadn't played it yet, I had it from Christmas of from last year.
You mostly just wanted the little ship.
Kind of. The like, R-Wing. I had intended to play it, but then I got sidetracked with a whole bunch of other stuff I wanted to play, specifically Hyrule Warriors, which owns my life.
Of course.
And as soon as we booted it up, after waiting over an hour for it to download the updates, because I'm like,
it was a long update.
Like, oh crap. As soon as it shows like the opening of the game, I'm like, tight, this is gonna be great. And then it like boots you into this like really terrible UI, and I'm like, what is this screen? Is this game a game, or is this just a way to look at your toys? And eventually I figured out that you had to exit that screen to start your mission. I'm like, well, that is not at all a smart way to program that. There should be a big old start mission button somewhere. And it's,
well, and that's a running problem throughout the game, is like there are very basic concepts in this game that it never bothers to teach you. For instance, one cool thing about the game, and the whole point of being able to interchange pieces on the fly, is if your ship gets shot down and you die, that's okay. If you have another ship, you can keep fighting.
Huh.
If you run out of ships, then you're dead and you've got to respawn back at your mothership. Mm-hmm. But if you have multiple ships, like I do now, oh, my ship died. Rip it off the mount, put the new one on, keep going.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you finish that fight and you've got, you know, say you have three ships, two of them get shot down during a hard mission, so you've got one ship left. Obviously, there's a way to repair all of your ships.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. and it never told me, not once.
Oof.
At one point, there was a little window that popped up that was like, you can get your ships repaired at a friendly outpost. I'm like, awesome. And I went to a friendly outpost. I'm like, how? There's no way to interact with the outpost except for to speak to them, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, the dialogue trees are really haphazard. It's not very elegantly organized. It's a very lack of organized structure to the way the game is set up. Eventually, I found out, oh, well, you learn how to do that by playing the main game. The main missions teach you how to do that, but because it's such an open-world game, it's like a Grand Theft Auto game in as much as you can go off and goof around for 5-10 hours before you actually get to a point where you have to repair your ship or you have to, you know, gather enough of this resource in order to do a thing. And it doesn't teach you how to do those things because it requires you to play the main missions to learn that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's it, it's so weird that I bought a second ship before I knew how to repair ships. It's yeah. Also, so I was telling you this off mic before we ate lunch today. There's a main mission that's very early on in the game. I think it might be your first non-story like side mission where the main ship gets attacked and your mentor character, your Obi-Wan character, is kidnapped by the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the game is you got to find him and he's got to get back to you and all that. All of his research gets blown out of the main ship and lands on a planet. You got to go collect these canisters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of canisters in the game. It's one of the main things is canisters. And the idea is, oh, it's his research. And then as you comb through them, you realize, oh no, these are every character bio in the game. This is a mission that tells you who everyone is. If you never see the little button that is half a centimeter on my 55-inch screen, if you don't see the thing saying, hey, you can do this side mission, you never do this mission and you never actually meet these people.
Yeah.
So they're just people talking on the main ship. And that was really upsetting for the first like 5 hours of playing this game where I'm like, so they're just not going to introduce any of these characters. So they're not going to introduce the backstory of what's going on. So they're not going to give us literally like it is really in media res to yeah. just be like, okay, we're dropping you in the middle of a story. This it's very much like going to the movie theater back in the 80s and being like, Star Wars Episode 5? This is only the second movie. What the hell is going on here? But it's okay, though, because it's an Ubisoft game, so the plot is mostly set dressing.
Yeah.
It's mostly just there to hold the, you know, go to a place and shoot a thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said all of that, the gameplay is really fun. The art direction is so lovely because yeah. it's, you know, they've focused on these planets being vibrant, weird looking. There's one planet that's like just got rivers and oceans of bile, which is gross. And there's like mushroom forests. There's a magenta planet that's absolutely gorgeous that you fly around on. And the cool thing is you can launch off of a planet into space to a different planet, break through atmosphere, land on that planet. It's all seamless. There's no loading screen.
That's cool.
You go. And there's plenty to do on each planet. Space is kind of the same thing over and over, which is, oh, there are, outlaw space pirate guys, and they have hyperspace traps. You can use, like, the hyperspace button to not fast travel. There is a fast travel option to friendly places, but there is a hyperspeed option to speed you up. If you use that, you can get caught in a trap and pulled out of hyperspace where you have to engage in a random encounter fight. And it feels very Final Fantasy VII, like, I'm just trying to get from point A to point B. And along the way, there are 5 different pissant fights with some jerk that you kill in 2 shots.
Yeah.
It'll take you 5 minutes to come out of hyperspace and turn around, come about, get on their tail, shoot them down. If you use the right combination of weapons, there are different effects. That's kind of cool. Because you start with 3 weapons in the starter pack. One is just a chain gun, one is ice missiles, and the other is a flamethrower. If you use like ice weapons and heat weapons at the same time, that's mostly all I've been able to do because those are the only weapons I have. But you can get an effect called like thermal shock where it's like, oh, they're extremely cold, then extremely warm, and it breaks them up really easy. And there are different, you know, bad guys that are vulnerable to different weapon. And there are cool weapons. There are gravity weapons. There's singularity weapons that just basically you're firing black holes.
Nice.
And that's, and every pilot has their own pilot ability. The main guy, Mason, has like an orbital strike that's pretty boss. Hmm. There's the girl who's a racer. So she's obviously, her thing is an extra turbo boost. There's a plant prospector man. He's a man made of plants who is a former like Wild West gunslinger type who is now a prospector. Great character, Eli. And Eli's special ability is gunslinger mode, which essentially is like Max Payne bullet time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's very clever. This is all very clever. It's very well put together. It's very well concepted. It's just that the final execution of it feels a little sloppy Joe. Like, it's okay. No one's actually going to pay attention to who these characters are. They just want the stats attached to them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stock stuff. Like, there's that big, burly tank of a guy whose name is Hunter Haka. And he's very much a Polynesian warrior who... He's a warrior monk, kind of. And it's like, oh boy, that's really... lazy. And then you think that's lazy, and then you meet Levi is a hashtag influencer who is constantly snapping selfies, and he's very extreme.
I'm just glad I have Fox McCloud.
Yeah Well, and that's the thing, if you buy the Switch version with Fox and the R-Wing, there's no reason to get any other ship or character, because basically it's just a very, very weird... It's
a weird Star Fox
game.
It's
Super Mario Brothers 2 for Star Fox, where it's like, this isn't really a Star Fox game, but it stars Star Fox, doesn't it? It's like, yeah, this version does.
Yep.
So I plan to get the Switch version. They've got me on two different versions. It's a great game.
So what would be your final verdict?
My final verdict on it is it's I would call it a solid...
Two versions out of 10.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's, your mileage may vary. If you've got a high tolerance for an Ubisoft game where it's just grind, hey, I got a thing, does it do anything? Kinda. Grind. There is a notable, like, the same way in an Assassin's Creed game where if you, like, liberate a tower or you build up a piece of your villa or something like that and it gives you a little cutscene, it's like, hey, you did it. There is that patented sense of accomplishment when you, like, liberate a planet. I did that this morning. I liberated a planet from the bosses getting increasingly big. First, you have these big, creepy, crawly, like, giant bug things on the planet called a Prime. That's a big fight, and it's a very self-fulfilling fight when you finish it. Then you realize, oh, those things are teeny in comparison to this giant warship in space called a Dreadnought. So eventually it's like, okay, you have to take out these towers. The towers are hard. But the towers are what build up the primes, so you have to defeat the primes. But the primes are what build up the dreadnoughts, so you have to defeat the dreadnoughts. And eventually you realize, oh, yeah, no, they do build on like kind of a Shadow of the Colossus type of... It gets bigger and bigger in order to help you feel more accomplished, even though you're largely just, you know, go to a place and shoot a thing. Yeah. But the places are lovely. The toys are great. That's a big thing, is if you like the idea of a toy-to-life game, this one is the best one I've ever seen.
Yeah, the R-Wing that I've got is kind of magnificent for the price that I got it for. I was like, wow, this was kind of worth it just to get the little R-Wing.
Yeah, but if you're not into the toys, you can get the full digital copy of the game. And I think at this point, you can probably for $60 buy the digital deluxe that has literally everything in the game.
Oh, really?
It's like there's a version of that with everything, or you can buy things incrementally if you want. I think at this point,
but
they
then
have...
you lose the fun of being able to swap it out in real time.
Right? Yeah. Well, and also, if you buy the toys, you can play digitally with everything that comes with the toy up to like 7 days before you have to connect the toy again. Because they couldn't let you have it forever, because then you could just give the toy or sell the toy to somebody and keep all the game content. So I understand that. It's kind of crappy, but it's no big deal.
Yeah, it seems like the whole mentality of the game, like the Toys to Life idea, I like the idea of being able to hot swap your I don't know if that's the right term.
It can be.
So to be able to hot swap your mechanics in it, your weapons and your ship and your captain or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really cool feature seen in real time. Really, like, that's when you get sold on it. You're like, oh crap, look at that.
That plus the No Man's Sky seamless planet to space bit. There are parts of this game that are better than the game had any right to be.
Yeah, and I see that with the, like, you know, oh, I like that idea. The problem is, like, the difference between Skylanders and Disney Infinity and Amiibo and stuff. Skylanders builds it, starts with Spyro, and you're like, oh, I know who Spyro is. And the game builds it like, oh, this is kind of the first and the biggest and the most unique. So the characters are unique, and you understand, like, once they built in that audience, it's pretty easy to keep selling to that audience.
Yeah.
Disney Infinity was known Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars characters. Lego Worlds was known Lego, like, different properties. Yeah, every like, property.
They even got Disney properties in that.
Yeah. Amiibo is all Nintendo properties. With Starlink, you've got Star Fox, if you get the Switch version, and then random dudes and random ships. And it's a hard sell unless you have already sold them on that game's world, and it's...
Yeah, like, I'm an easy sell on this because I just love the concept of starships. Mm-hmm. I'm really into the whole idea of dogfights in space.
Yeah.
If you give me half-hearted characters but really good ship designs, I can live with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, like, my final verdict on Starlink is it's great if it's your thing.
Yeah.
Like, I view it the same way as, like, I've been doing a lot of horror movie reviews lately, and, like, with the Hellraiser movies or the Child's Play movies, if that's your thing, this is a great version of your thing. But if it's not your thing, maybe don't bother, because it's a lot of time or money investment.
Yeah.
Much like your Mario Kart game, so...
Well, it could be money investment, but I've wisely not invested money on it yet.
But you've invested a lot of time.
And
I think I'll be investing a lot of time just grinding out this game to justify all of the purchases I'm making.
There you go.
But hey, you know, a $20 toy spaceship makes me real happy and probably is a lot healthier than spending it on donuts.
In theory.
That's what my doctor says, at least.
What do doctors know?
I mean, our doctors know too much, yours and mine. They know too much about us.
Yeah. As I said, last time I went to my doctor, after my nurse took my temperature, my blood pressure and all that, she then, like, turns to her laptop and is like, I know you're dying, but can you try not to die so fast? I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll do my best.
It's a great thing to never, ever say in a medical office.
Yeah, first day training for nurses should be don't ever use the word dying unless you need to tell them they're about to die.
It's like a TSA agent saying bomb.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, that movie really bombed!
Like, oh, no!
It's like, maybe you can do it in the break room, but not here out on the floor, okay? Yeah, doctors and medical offices.
Yeah.
This is how you can tell we're dads, is that's how we're ending the show.
talking about real life stuff. This is get real life.
Yeah. So Starlink, nine. I'm going to call it an 8.5 out of 10.
Oh, man.
8.5, and that's a good score. You know, screw you, video game industry.
That's the lowest score anyone's ever given anything.
The numbers thing doesn't work, so maybe I don't give it a number. I'll tell you this. I'm going to end up buying every friggin' plastic spaceship for this game. So I love this game. I perfectly understand that it has a lot of flaws.
Final rating for this is Plastic Spaceship.
Yes, which is a good rating, I'd say. I love plastic spaceships. So that's been Dad's Review a Thing.
That's Dad's Review a Thing. We did it. We did it, Kyle. We did a Dad's Review a Thing, and we got it through, and it is done. And if anyone wants to contact us, they can do it through methods.
Yeah, well, there's mediasandwichshow@gmail.com is our catch-all email for all the shows.
Yep.
And you can also comment on our web zone over there at media-sandwich.com.
Send you a pizza roll.
Yes, yes, send you a pizza roll. How passe is that now?
I don't know.
Probably pretty much. But but yeah, you can contact us on that. I'm on Twitter at Kyle Martinak.
And I'm at the Chris Pranger.
And all of the show stuff is always posted on Twitter under @media-sandwich, I believe it is. @media_sandwich it is for Twitter.
That sounds right.
Yeah, because there's a guy who got Media Sandwich and doesn't actually even tweet anymore, so screw you, bucko.
Yeah, next time on Drat, something different.
What's it gonna be? We don't know.
We don't know. Okay, have a good one, everyone.
Welcome, everybody, to an episode of this podcast.
Shit, I should figure out which one.
No, we don't. It's better this way, Kyle. Welcome to this episode of Media Sandwich Reheated, or Drat, depending on what Kyle chooses to cut this as.
Well, I was going to cut, like, I was going to do some artful dodging and make it one of each, probably. That was the record button I hit two times.
Sure did.
I didn't hit the stop. Stop!
Sir, I really want to record this again.
We're going to over-record it. We're recording over the recording. We're just recording. The stackable recordings, just like Starlink ships.
Oh, dang.
Stacking three recordings on top of each other.
We're in it now.
I wonder what the stat combo is for that.